Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta know Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
All right, 10:03 on The Fan, and a very good Tuesday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Hit the 1 o'clock CMB. We'll come your way, Robbie Rosenhaus, and, of course, the great Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. Bro, how are you?
Oh, I'm freaking fantastic. Yeah, last night I was watching the Mets, and I was watching the Monday night game. Right. And
I didn't see a lot of the Monday night game because I got to prepare myself for a late night Thursday after a relatively late night last night. So I did watch a lot of the Mets, though. I did watch pretty much the whole Met game.
And that was fun. You know, Michael Conforto looks like a beast.
All of a sudden, what happened?
I'm watching the Bear game, and maybe I'm going to be dead wrong about this.
Khalil Mack
could be something.
There's the strip sack of Russell Wilson. We're watching it, what we just did.
Well, Khalil Mack's a beast. We all know that.
Oh, my God.
And when you look at what's happening in Oakland and you look at what's happening in Chicago, he's worth 2 first-round picks. He's worth 12 first-round picks, how good he is. But watching this game last night, and I could be dead wrong about this, I have no idea how good Mitchell Trubisky is. I bank on he's not that good. I think he's a freak athlete, but he's very inaccurate. But what I saw last night, and it's only two games, is they have a coach who knows what they're doing. And they have a coach that has put together an offense where they're going to maximize everything they could get out of this young quarterback. I don't know what Pat Shurmur is yet. It's only two games. And so far, the sample size and all the coaches that took over have been awful. I mean, there's only 3 combined wins from the new coaches.
Right. Frank Reich, Nagy, and who's the other guy I'm missing?
And Vrabel.
Oh, Vrabel. That's right. Tennessee, right.
Those are the 3 wins.
Right.
Shurmur's 0-2.
Right.
Gruden's 0-2.
Right.
Patricia's 0-2.
Yep.
Steve Wilks is not only 0-2. His team doesn't even compete.
Right.
But this
league,
they got
6 points in 2 games.
They've been awful.
Yep.
They're barely even playing.
Yep.
And you've always said this. This league is so much about coaching.
No question about it.
And how much of a difference a coach can make. And I get it's only 2 weeks with the Chicago Bears, but you can see the difference that Nagy is bringing. And that's going to be one of the questions the next few weeks from this Giant head coach and Pat Shurmur. Because I really thought, and I know it's only the second game of the year, they were completely out-coached in week 2. It wasn't just the offensive line. It wasn't just Eli Manning. A lot of it was the coaching. And that's why week 3 is going to be so fascinating to see how they bounce back. Because we don't know what this guy is. I think he said all the right things during the offseason. But looking back at last week, and we all kind of poo-pooed it. They lost to the Jaguars, and everybody...
Yeah, no, it was like a college game where you lose to a big-time program, and you play him close, and you walk out of there and say, hey, you know what, we feel good even though we lost.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And looking back on it, how dumb was that?
Yep.
Especially with the performance they put on the tape against the Cowboys 2 nights ago.
Yep.
So that attitude that came out of week 1, that's certainly not the attitude we thought we were going to see from a Dave Gettleman GM team. Gettleman was the guy who had his press conference. This was one of the quotes I remember. And I loved it because I thought it was cool and true. He said, I want guys on my team that hate to lose more than want to win. Remember he said that?
Yeah.
Did the Giants sound like a team that hated to lose after week 1?
No.
They sounded like they were like, oh, that's cool.
You're right. I tell you what, this is a huge game. I said last week was a huge game, and the team that lost that game with the Cowboys was in trouble. Well, the Giants, they can't start 0-3. I mean, now, this is an interesting game because both teams are kind of desperate. I mean, Houston's 0-2 as well, and you're going down there to play the Texans, and they got to win a football game here, the Giants. They really do.
And you know what scares me about this game? The Houston Texans are 0-2, and they came into this season with very high expectations.
Very high.
Both of those games are on the road. This is their home opener.
Yeah,
This is going to be, you would think, a pretty loud atmosphere, and you would think the Texans come out like a desperate football team. The truth is, the Giants have to come out like a desperate football team.
No question.
Because I've started to see this already from Giant fans on Twitter. They're looking at their schedule, and they're starting to utter this sentence. Where are the wins coming from? Now, to start doing that three weeks into the season.
Right, is not good.
That's not good.
No.
And I understand it, because on paper you say, well, the Texans aren't this bad. It's on the road. It's their home opener. They're pretty good.
Saints.
Saints have a pretty big offense. Carolina on the road.
Yep.
Defending Super Bowl champion Eagles. Carson Wentz is back. At Atlanta. Oh, my God. We're 0-7. Now, we all know you really can't do that in the NFL.
No. No.
The NFL is the definition of a week-to-week sport.
Oh, God. Amen.
Look at the Ravens.
You never, bro, come on.
Look at the Jets.
Yep. You know, you look at anybody.
Look at the Redskins.
And we go on and on with it. We look at teams. I mean, you know, who knows? Nobody knows anything. Let's be real.
Right.
It's so week-to-week, it's ridiculous, this league.
And that's why.
Year-to-year, week-to-week.
Year-to-year, week-to-week. And some teams haven't been week-to-week. Like the Arizona Cardinals aren't week-to-week. They stink.
They're just bad.
Right.
You know,
the Cowboys,
just a bad football team.
Cowboys, week-to-week. Yeah. The whole division, besides the Giants, have been week-to-week.
Right.
Right. With the performances they've given.
Right.
And if they went out and they beat the Texans, I think there'd be a lot more optimism coming from the Giants.
Well, you got to get a win. I mean, when you're coming off a 3-13 season, you know, all of a sudden 0-2, now it's 0-3. Now you're starting to say, wow, are we going to be a 3-13? And, you know, now you don't really know how to win. Now it could easily spiral out of control.
Absolutely. And think about this, Joe. They brought in some new names, no doubt about it. Guy like Nate Solder is only used to winning based on where he came from.
Right.
Patrick Omame was last year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, he's sort of familiar with winning, at least based on last
year. Even Barkley at Penn State. I mean, he used to winning football games.
Yeah. Most college football players are used to winning games.
Right. Sure.
But there's a lot of guys on this team, a lot of them, that experienced every bit of 3-13 last year.
Absolutely.
And if all of a sudden they're 0-3, and now you're looking 16 out of your last 19 games you've lost, and if you want to go back to the playoff game the year before that, it would be 17 out of 20. You're right. It could start to become, you know, something that you just can't get past. It starts to steamroll a little bit.
Yep.
But I look back, and we commented on it a little bit.
0-7?
No, the way they acted after losing the first week of the year.
Yeah.
It was a rah-rah, hey, the Jaguars are good kind of thing.
Right.
And that's dangerous in the NFL. You really shouldn't have that attitude.
No,
the attitude should be we should have won the game.
You can't have that attitude because, you know, let's be honest about it. I mean, look, there's good teams, there's bad teams, there's middle-of-the-road teams. The bottom line in the NFL is that anybody can beat anybody any week. You just really – that's the way the game is. You know, you catch a team at the right time, you catch a team at the wrong time, you catch a team when they got a bunch of injuries that are affecting them. There's so many different variables that go into that game week in and week out. And I always say this, and to me this is, you know, I've said this a million years. You know, when you really look at the breakdown of the NFL, the talent level between each team, is there's not really that big a difference between the 32 teams. If you really break them down, everybody's got talent. Everybody does. It comes down to coaching and knowing how to win football games. It comes down to that.
Absolutely. The coaching in this league.
Oh,
and that was the feeling I got watching the Bears last night. And it's only 2 weeks, so I don't know what Matt Nagy's going to be. But my early returns, watching them against the Packers a week earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they blew, might I say.
Very creative, though, offensively.
Oh,
very creative.
Very creative.
No doubt about it.
When you watch the Bears over the first 2 weeks, my attitude on them is I think he's going to get the most he can out of this quarterback. I don't think he's ever going to be an elite quarterback. Doesn't mean you can't win with him, though.
No, of course.
And I think they have a coach who knows what he's doing. That's how I look at the Chicago Bears right now.
Right.
We don't know that about Pat Shurmur yet. Pat Shurmur did a great job last year as the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings.
There's been a lot of those guys, and then they turn around and become head coaches, and it doesn't work out.
Right. And this is
Pat's, a laundry list of those guys.
This is his second go-around, too. We understand that.
Right.
He had a shot in Cleveland. I don't know what he's going to be, but you're so right. The coaching in this league is so important. And at least in the Dallas game, they were completely out-coached.
Yep.
And they've got to find a way this week to clean up all the mistakes they made from Sunday night, including the fact that not only was the offensive line beat, but they were outmaneuvered, the stunts that beat them all single night. And Eli Manning can't throw 13 completions, 13 of them behind the line of scrimmage.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what happened on Sunday night with Saquon Barkley and Eli Manning.
Absolutely. That is a game the Giants have to have. This is really, like Yogi once said, it's getting late early for the for the Giants, because you can, you know, when you're coming off that year that they had last year, you cannot go back to the well again, and all of a sudden we're 0-4, 0-5.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have that happen, because then that's the season's going to spiral out of control.
And we get it. The offensive line had a lot of changes, sure. And now they've got another change because Jalapio's done for the season.
Yep, yep.
And at least for now, Greco is going to be the starting center, and that's another adjustment this line
has to make. What's this guy's name?
Greco? John Greco, yeah. Greco, veteran. Okay. He's been around for a million years, but a lot of his experience is at guard. Now he's being asked to be the center for this team. We get it takes a long time to gel, or it takes time to gel. They don't have to be the Cowboys from 2 years ago, but what they need to be is just mediocre. You know what they need to be? They need to be mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even that right now. They've just got to move to the level of mediocrity, because right now they're awful. Awful's not acceptable. Awful blows everything up. It blows the quarterback up. It blows the running game up. You turn the ball over when you're awful. They've got to find a way, this offensive line, to not even be great. Maybe someday they'll be great. They've just got to be mediocre and respectable. And that doesn't mean we're absolving Eli Manning. Eli hasn't played well.
Nope.
And, you know, here's the other thing about Eli. When we or anybody else criticizes the quarterback, that is not an indictment on 2007, 2011,
no,
or his entire career.
Or what is, you know, his place in the history of the franchise.
Right.
No, not at all. Right.
It's just talking about the now. The now is what you talk about with Eli Manning. So someone can be critical of the guy. We both happen to think he's Hall of Famers. There are some that don't think that.
Right.
I think he is.
All right, well, I'm with you.
I don't think that if he doesn't play well this season and he's being criticized, that has anything to do with what happened during his Super Bowl runs. And sometimes that issue kind of gets mixed up. It shouldn't get mixed up. They're completely separated. I've heard a lot of Eli haters over the years, and I'm not just talking about from Giant fans, but from those Cowboy clowns from last week. Guys who say, he's lucky. David Tyree, it was lucky.
No, I know.
Forgetting the fact that he did have a pretty good spin move as he was about to be hit on that play.
Look, he made an unbelievable play to get away from that sack, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He made that play with that.
But criticisms of this quarterback doesn't mean that you're ripping his career or you're taking away from what he's done for this franchise. When your offense is as bad as the Giant offense has been, not just for the first 2 weeks this year, but all of last year, it's on everybody. It's on the line. It's on the coaching. It's on the quarterback. It's on everybody. Nobody gets to get away from the blame. Everybody gets a piece of it. Because it is remarkable in an era in which offensive numbers are going down so easily. Offensive records, Joe, are being set every week.
Oh, God.
It's amazing that the Giants are the one team, basically, who's been constantly underperforming all of that for basically 2 years now.
It is mind-boggling that they have gone. What year did we say it was? 2015?
It was January of 16, but the 2015 season.
Okay, so they have gone two full seasons and now two games into the next year without scoring 30 points. Now that's unbelievable.
It is.
When you think about that, like you said, in this era of, you know, fantasy football, which is really what, you know, what it is mind-boggling to think they have not put 30 points on a board in over 2 years.
Craziness.
It really is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.